You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hora número tres. That's hour three. Jason, see what I just did there? I translated that one for you.
Thank you.
Touch on the weekend in college baseball. Hear from some more in the locker room following the Pels Trailblazers game back on Saturday. Game two tomorrow night. Tonight, Heat 76ers game two, 7 o'clock TNT. Also, game two between the Spurs and Warriors at 9:30. You can watch it on TNT or you can listen to it right here on ESPN Radio New Orleans. It's the playoff games for the Pels as well. We'll be on here looking forward to that action and some more of your responses. Got a ton of them already today as to what is the one thing that stood out to you from that win Saturday. Was it the play of Jrue Holiday? Was it the block? Was it, you know, the free throws and rebound from AD in the last minute of the game? He had two huge rebounds, two trips to the free throw line. We'll hear from that here in a little bit. And also, as we've touched on already on the show, the Saints with the off-season workouts beginning today. Pepito, go ahead. That is your cue to start the jumping jacks already. And yet again, as the off-season workouts are underway. Three phases for you over the next couple of weeks and months, really. Phase one, Jason. I know you're, what are you, you're phase three or?
I'm more of a phase three guy.
Okay, that's what I thought. Phase one, 2 weeks of the program, activities limited to strength and conditioning and physical rehab. Phase two, 3 weeks. On-field workouts may include individual player instruction and drills as well as team practice conducted on a separate basis. No live contact or team offense versus team defense drills are permitted. And here's Jason's favorite, phase three. Teams may conduct a total of 10 days of organized team practice activities or OTAs. No live contacts permitted, but you can do 7-on-7, 9-on-7, and 11-on-11 drills. Those dates for the OTAs, May 22nd through the 24th, May 29th through the 31st, June 4th through the 7th. Basically, we get to see one day out of those practices the media does, so one day out of the week. And then you have the veteran mini camp, June 12th through the 14th, and that has been open to the public for as long as I can remember. So fans' first shot to check out the team, June 12th through the 14th. And they've opened, I want to say, all 3 days in the past to that. So, looking forward. Getting closer, Jason, tonight. Don't forget, next Thursday, live at Dave & Buster's, our round one coverage of the NFL draft. 6 p.m. is when we'll start over at Dave & Buster's. There'll be special stadium seating, for the draft if you want to watch it. There's TVs around the bar. It's really, really cool if you haven't been there. 1200 Poydras Street.
I'll be playing Mortal Kombat.
Fantastic.
On the arcades around that time.
Well, that's better than, well, not better. I guess Whack-A-Mole is fun. You know? So, there it is.
Well, it depends what game you want to play. Yeah. But there's tons of them. No. Have you been inside there yet?
Not this one. I haven't. I haven't made my way
looking
down
forward
there.
To it. It looks nice looking forward in there, to it. Man.
I've been to several Dave & Buster's in the past.
Oh, so you're a Dave & Buster guy.
I got a card. My own card. Yes.
Fancy man.
See, I never really needed to save the tickets. You know, like they spit out little tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
You do stuff. But now I can buy little, you know, little trinkets for a little carver.
There you go. Yeah. What happens if your card?
Favorite toy right now is the 99-cent little gyrocopter helicopter thing. Mm-hmm. Looks like a, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. But you push the button with your thumb. You spin it. You turn the little twisty thing on it. And you spin it. It flies off.
Keep giving him 99-cent toys. It's going to work
he
out for you guys'
it.
Wallet.
Absolutely loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep doing that. Until he gets smart to it. You know?
I had a $50 Red Flyer wagon that my wife thought would.
No need.
99 cents? Ma? More in Spanish.
What happens if the Dave and Buster's card happens to go missing out of your wallet
really?
For the draft show?
You can get another one. They give them to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're free. It just keeps track of your stuff. Yeah, okay. I'll get you one.
I can get my own. I'm a grown-up.
I'm just making sure. You can have a little fun with that. College baseball, the Colonels, eesh. How about this weekend for you, Jason? 6-7, they lose in 15 innings. I call it heartbreak weekend for the Colonels on the diamond. They win 5-2, but then lose 7-6 yesterday. They were up 6-5 in the ninth, and then with the bases loaded, two walks, two hit batsmen. They lose. If you remember Friday, I was talking about, I thought Matt Reiser and the Lions, you know, they're playing very well. You know what happened, Jason?
They because lost. Of you, Agato Negroing them.
They lost. Yeah. They lost the series to Northwestern State.
Yep. Stop interviewing teams.
They host Southern Miss, the 12th-ranked Golden Eagles, this week, and then they will take on Nichols twice in Hammond, Friday, Saturday, and then down to Thibodaux for Sunday's game. UNO, I mentioned to Jay Hardgrave how I thought Blake Dean and his team had been doing a pretty good job. Swept by McNeese State over the weekend. So basically the two teams, I said their coaches were doing really good. I maybe could be making a run here and just showing, you know, hey, things are turning around.
As long as no one is a guest on your show, they'll be just fine.
Did we have the graph on last week? I think we did, didn't we?
I think so.
I think we did. Yeah, we did. We did.
Yeah, but the graph, you guys are best friends. Like, he has a special...
No, I understand that, but still...
Your Elgato Negro curse cannot affect the graph. Well, he's immune to it.
The Elgato Negro curse...
I'm sure it has.
...was tested.
Oh.
It was tested. As Tulane was down 16-6 on Friday. I'm not laughing. But they were down.
But you're laughing.
They were down 16-6, and I'm like, oh no, it's probably not going to be good, you know. Like, so I was like, oh no, I hope it wasn't going to be a bad experience for Todd. That said, they came back in the game and won 17-16, down 10, and Todd was Todd.
Fly ball to left, it's hit well, Bielamovich at the track, wall leaps, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. Ask and ye shall receive, touch the ball, Tony Hosey, we're tied up. Oh, he kicks away, he kicks away, we're gonna win, we win, we win, we win, we win, we win. Scores! My goodness! No way!
So there you go. The graph.
It's been that kind of a day, baby.
Mm-hmm. I love me a graph call.
I mean, that's Todd for you.
My goodness.
That's what Todd is known for right there. A little energy.
A little passion.
So yes, the Elgato Negro curse was tested.
Tested, but it didn't seem to work with the graph. He can fight it off.
I think. Look, Tulane's won back-to-back weekend series in conference play. I want to say I saw they're only one game out of the conference lead. Below 500, though, overall. So, key game on Wednesday as they host the LSU Tigers. On Wednesday, LSU, 19th-ranked team in the country. And the 7-3 comeback win. So Tennessee's up 7-3 in the ninth. They wound up winning. Score 6 runs. Freshman Daniel Cabrera, DH, comes in, hits a 3-run walk-off homer. They win 9-7. Also was Paul Maneri's 1,400 career victory. And he's only one of 4 active Division I baseball coaches to have reached that career milestone. Overall, in case you're wondering, 13th coach in the all-time history of D1 baseball to have accumulated 1,400 wins. So, After the game, he said, look, coaches don't win 1,400 games. The players do. But the players getting a sweep of Tennessee, and again, they'll be taking on Tulane this weekend. I'm sorry, this weekend, Wednesday, up in Uptown New Orleans. And I texted Todd earlier today, and he said he got a handful or so of seats in the bleachers. So if you want to go, you probably should go and give them a buzz if you want to go and check that out. South Carolina on the road, the weekend series for the Tigers. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Marlon Fayright will join us as we'll touch on the Saints getting back to off-season workouts. What exactly does that mean for them? Willie Snead at the start of the workouts, but without a contract. What does that say? And also an Arizona defensive back, who I'll tell you about next, paid the Saints a visit today, among some other teams on this list. I'll tell you about that when we come back. It's ESPN New Orleans. Big Fave 504 is the way to follow him over on Twitter. And also, if you want to check out the podcast, Pete says he's been listening to it recently, and he loves Inside the Trenches.
Super good.
Yeah. Marlon, you're going to have to find, for some reason, to have Pepito on. You're Inside the Trenches. I don't know what kind of analyst he would be or what he would break down, but if you find something for him, he would be more than happy to help you.
Absolutely nothing, Marlon.
Well, Gus, that wouldn't be hard for me because he works with you every day, so anyone who works with you every day have tons of content. Hello.
Hey, there you go. There,
God bless that man.
Tell you what, it's fantastic. LSU spring games, 5 o'clock on Saturday, 5 p.m., over in Tiger Stadium. Marlon, final week of practice, of reps and things of that nature. And once the game ends on Saturday and, you know, you're done, it's all the way to fall ball. And you and I always talk about how long that really is and the anticipation. Yes, you can work out and do all those different things, but it's trying to put tape down for the coaches. It's trying to, say, look, this is my playing spot, things of that nature. And this year, for teams that are trying to win or, you know, that are in better shape than others, spring ball is just trying to go through the process. And then for others, and I would put LSU in this right now, it's important because you have question marks, pretty big question marks. And you and I have gone over the last couple of weeks and talked about it. And that's offensively for LSU. So as we have the bigger overall question, Marlon, of what do you want to see on Saturday? You start with the offense, right? Don't you want to see some sort of offensive performance?
I am very interested in seeing the offense, Gus. That's numero uno for me. I have a put it to you like this. The defense I'm okay with. I can hold my breath. I can exhale my breath on defense. But offensively for LSU, and one position in particular, the quarterback position, I want to see improvement. I want to see growth. Obviously out of Miles Brennan, right, because he had the most snaps. So I want to see the maturity in the spring game. Also the running back position. I want to see who's going to step out and be that guy, who's going to make their mark, because this is the film that the coaches are looking forward to right here. This is when all the marbles come together. You know, looking at the spring stats, it's a lot of tag in the backfield. For a defensive tackle or for a cornerback, just button the guy up. So spring gives us an opportunity to see who has really made that improvement.
So obviously you look at it from that perspective, but any quarterback that's going to be taking the snaps, we've touched on this as well, you'd be helped if you could get some of that running game. And it's so odd because we have been for the last several years, anyone that's covered LSU said, hey, you're still waiting a quarterback, it's a question mark. But what you didn't have as a question mark was that you could depend on the backfield. You could depend on those running backs. And again, I almost feel like you're not trying to be disrespectful by saying, hey, they're not that strong there, you're not there. You have a lot of unknowns. But some of the guys that are back there in that backfield do have the ability to, right, Marlon?
Yes, they do. They really do. Starting with Clyde Helaire, I think he probably has the biggest edge. We have a newcomer coming with Chris Curry out of Florida. So once he gets here in June, we'll be able to see him. And of course, there's Nick Brousset, where there's a lot of question marks around him, but I think he has the potential. He has the size. He's been very quiet. He may have a Darrell Williams story. You know, someone who basically is just a role player, behind two good running backs, and now he has to step up and hold his own. So I'm looking forward to that as well, and I think it'll be a spring game for the books.
So you said you had confidence, obviously, in the defense, and it's obviously one of the reasons because you have the running back in doing that. Is there a position group, though, that you'll be kind of looking to see where maybe some of those battles will be going on?
Well, if it was a group in particular that I'm looking at, I am looking at on the defensive side of the ball, I'm looking at the linebackers. We know that Michael Divinity has a lot of potential, but there's also a lot of potential in Jacob Phillips, and there's potential in Patrick Queen. Just to name a few guys on that second level for the Tigers. So I'm looking forward to seeing, first of all, West Banker Michael Divinity, let it be known that he's actually ready to roll. And for one, Devin White to just be that leader as well. So I saw some highlights from some of the spring practices with him. He's still he's bringing the fire. And offensively, the receiving core, man, you know, guys like Justin Jefferson, Jordan Jefferson's brother, Drake Davis, you know, guys are going to have an opportunity to make an immediate impact next year with the offense. So the receiving core is something I'm looking at as well.
Marlon, obviously when you get to this point, just, I guess, kind of take us into the mentality of these players too, knowing, I mean, you've had your practices, you've done the weightlifting early in February, now you're kind of culminating, obviously, with the spring game on Saturday. Is it excitement? Is it finally you're ready to get it? Or is it almost like you want to keep this continuing?
Right now I'm fired up. As a player, I'm fired up because here's where I earn my job in the fall. Here's where I make my summer that much easier in the spring game. That's what the coaches are going to watch. That's the last impression is the most. The first impression is the most lasting, but that last impression is all you have to go into the next phase to this, and that's fall ball. So, as a player, I'm excited. For one, spring ball is about to be over. Whew! So that once that game is over, there's no more hitting, and you could give your body a chance to recover. But you want to end that on a good note, and spring is where you make that impact.
One of the cool things I think they've done as of late, Student Day is Thursday, Marlon. I don't think they did this while you were there. But LSU set the practice from 4 to about 5:30. It's a light practice, obviously, before the spring game on Saturday. But students get to go tour the game, the locker room that the players are in, and then come out the tunnel and hit the W. I love this because especially if, like, you're an incoming freshman or just a freshman this year or just, whatever class you are, the opportunity to go into the locker room and be a part of it just kind of connects the university a little bit more with its team, doesn't it?
That's that California style right there, baby. Hello, somebody. You constantly see Coach Ed Orgeron adopting things that Coach Pete Carroll might have done at USC and then putting his own twist to it, and that's what Student Day is to me. You look at it, 4 p.m., you know, you give students athletes interacting with students all day. And then we just leave and go to the secret place. And, man, I've never been in the locker room. I would love to see how it feels to run through mm-hmm. the tunnel. So I think that's great, you know, to get the student body behind the team that much more and, you know, make the student body feel a part of the team. It's all a part of Ed Orgeron's deal to pick the morale up around there, have everyone feel like they're involved. So I like it. Student Day sounds great.
I think it'd be kind of cool. They're going to have an opportunity to do 40-yard dash competitions among the students.
Wow.
You can throw passes with LSU players or catch them from them. And then also, the best part, probably for college kids, Coach Orgeron's providing free jambalaya. So free dinner for the students that show up to this.
I couldn't beat it with a stick.
No, dude, here's the thing. And I joke about this all the time, though. It's like, what are you doing? But Alabama in their spring game, not only is it televised, right, on like the SEC network and stuff like that, but it's 100,000. They have 90 to 100,000 for the spring game. I mean, that's insane.
Have to make it attractive, man. You have to make it attractive to the student body and the fan base, and that's what this is right here. So another trick up Coach Ed Orgeron's sleeve to make this all one big happy LSU family. I like it.
I just want to know, Marlon, since you're close to Coach O and you're going to be there, obviously, Saturday, and, you know, you're close to this program, part of the LSU Sports Radio Network. Are you going to be helping serve the jambalaya? Are you going to run a 40 against a student? I want to know if Marlon Favorite today can outrun a sophomore or junior at LSU.
Ooh, that would be a test right there. I would look forward to that one. But I'm pretty sure, because we're doing the pregame, and me and Hester are probably going to go on the sidelines. So I'm pretty sure Coach O is going to hand me an apron and say, "Hey, Marlon, could you help me with the jambalaya? I kind of put it out there, but I need some help, some Louisiana boy help." So I see it coming. You know, that makes sense.
You know the proper way to scoop. You know what I'm saying? It's not just a half scoop. It's a heaping, helping scoop. You know?
Fill that plate.
Exactly right. All right, look, let's wrap up with the Saints. All-season workout starting now. For us and people like cover the team or Saints fans, like, just get to OTAs or just get to minicamp, just get to training camp, just get to the games. They're ready for that. But it's crazy because, obviously, with the CBA, it's all broken down now. So you have these 2 weeks, which is phase one, of it's literally just rehabbing, you're working out. But, Marlon, as you know, you're doing this since the season's ended. It's not like you just starting to, like, back in the day 20 years ago, probably you use now to get in shape for the season. Players have been doing that. It's really, I guess, just about getting back together with the guys, come on, you know, and you know, just kind of doing it in a team setting. I mean, it's not mandatory, but it is, if you know what I mean.
Oh, it's definitely mandatory. I could tell you this much, Gus. Every OTA that Marlon Favorite was invited to and had to be there, he was there. You don't want to miss that unless you're a veteran. But
now,
Go ahead.
What you were finishing?
No, I was going to say, now, from inside the trenches standpoint, as big guys, we running away from Dan or the strength and conditioning guys because we don't want to get on the scale, see, because we was on break for a little bit. And I've been working out, Coach, but I might be a pound or two over, or five or ten. So for the big guys, we're running away from the scale, but it does feel great to not only get back into the groove of things, but to be back with your teammates and to start working on the 2018 season.
I've heard former players say this a lot, and Zach Streif was one that really, really touched on it. He says, look, I get it. You guys may not think it's an important part of the offseason and stuff, but a lot of players have said they're convinced playoff seasons, championship run seasons, it's over the next 5 to 6 weeks where it's really done. Would you agree with that between now and to the last day of the June minicamp, June 14th? Would you say that a success that you're going to have or lack thereof in the fall comes right now?
The preparation, the first phase to it, it does. It happens right now because you have to get your mind right. And that's really what OTAs is about, just getting together as a team and fine-tuning your body and working on the things you need to work on going into fall ball. Now, having said that, you have to – most of the bread and butter is in fall ball. Preseason games, preparing, shaping up the team, getting ready for the actual season, you know, getting the veterans back, guys like Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, getting them back into the groove of things to prepare for games 1, 2, 3, and 4. So that's where it gets very interesting, Gus. You have to utilize this time to get your body back right, fine-tune. And so it has some level of importance, but it's not the whole kick-a-boodle. I mean, you have 95 guys that will be back there. You know, half of those guys, or close to half of those guys, won't even be there for for the regular season or even fall ball. So it's just really team camaraderie and come together as a team.
That's Marlon Favorite. Join him online. Check out the podcast. Pepito's been doing it as of late. He says you do a good job. Look at that, man. He likes the Inside the Trenches podcast. I think he's just trying to butter you up so you can be part of the podcast, though, Marlon. That's kind of
that's my dog, man. Pepito, know I got him, man. I talk about him sometime on there too. Hello.
There you go, man. You can follow him over at Big Fave 504 as well. You can get all the info for the podcast as well through that. All right, man. Enjoy the week. We'll talk again on Friday right before the spring game, and we'll have a little fun with you.
Sounds like a winner, bro. You do the same.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We come back. We'll hear from the locker room back on Saturday. And we'll go through some of the things that will be interesting going into game two tomorrow night. Pels and Trailblazers, two other final Saints notes again with offseason workouts beginning today. Willie Snead, Ian Rappaport, NFL.com says, hey, look, he's there. Even though he hasn't signed the tender, and he did pay a visit to the Ravens, but he didn't get an offer. And he has until Friday to accept offers from other teams. But Willie Snead, at least as of today, participating in the offseason workouts with the Saints. Also, Arizona defensive back Dane Cruikshank visited the Chargers over the weekend, visited the Saints today. Scheduled to still visit the Titans and Broncos, but he paid a visit to the Saints, so another defensive back paying the Saints a visit. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. New Orleans had a 19-point lead and built that up there, playing some defense, getting those threes to go down, AD dominating down low, and then Portland making it close. Pels Radio Network.
Eight rebounds now for Rondo, who dribbles to the left elbow, lobs for the rim. Alley-oop, dunk, smash down with the right hand of Anthony Davis.
Yes, indeed.
Hide your wife, hide your kids. Woo!
Yes, indeed. How you like me now?
There's still a long way to go. 3:35 to play off the high middle screen. Lillard drives to the rim, throws corner right. McCollum for three. Good, he got it. And it's 88-83 on an 11-2 run. The Blazers have made this a two-possession game. Over to Davis on his left. Drives in the lane. Strip and loose to Holiday. Out to Clark for three. Bang, got it. Ian Clark calms down everyone who's standing here at the Motor Center to make it 91-85.
Ian Clark with one of his biggest shots of the season.
With 1:10 to go. Here's Lillard from the top of the arc. Drives the rim. Throws it off his hip to Turner. Corner right three, no good. Rebound loose and popcorns back out to Turner. Swing, swing to McCollum. Corner right three is good.
That's another chance. Another second chance bucket. The Pels don't stop him and don't keep him off the glass. The offensive rebound again hurting New Orleans. That's 18 second chance points by Portland.
Bounce pass to Connaughton, comes to the rim, layup blocked by Holiday. Loose ball grabbed by Davis. 5 seconds left and they'll foul Davis with 4.9 on the clock.
Drew Holiday with a little Drew Deeney down the stretch. Oh my goodness, the block from behind.
Drew Holiday's second big block tonight. He had 64 blocks in the regular season to all lead all players 6'5 and under. And it's defense, like it was in the first half, that may win this game here late for the New Orleans Pelicans.
That block was absolutely unbelievable when you look at everything that took place. Drew Holiday on the block and the anatomy of the block. What was he thinking?
Really just meet him at the rim. The only thing that he had was either a layup or a dunk. And at that point, it was either going to be a block or a foul. And I think we're up three, so it didn't really matter if I fouled him. I was going to foul him hard. But since I saw the ball, I went for it.
I loved it, right? Overall, that play was just was silly, man. Damian Lillard from the other side of things, what he saw in that play.
CJ, I think it was CJ popped to the strong side corner, and Pat was flaring me to the weak side corner. But he had an open slip to the basket, and, obviously I know E.T. was trying to find me on that play. We talked about it, but he was wide open, slipping right underneath the basket. Drew just made a great defensive play.
Anthony Davis on the win.
It was huge. There was a lot of stuff that we got to get better at. I think we played well overall. We did a great job defensively on Dane and CJ. That rebounding ball a little better, but we got the win. That's all that matters. And,
MVP! MVP!
Make some adjustments and then get ready for Tuesday.
You know, that defense on the backcourt was amazing for a while. Lillard and McCollum, I think they were 3 of 13, 3 of something. They got hot towards the end of the game, unfortunately. Made this a lot closer than it needed to be. AD on stopping that backcourt?
No, we just want to make sure that we put as much pressure on Damian and CJ as possible and make someone else beat us. And the other guys made shots, but them the shot that we're going to live with. But, I may focus to make it tough on Damian CJ.
Jrue Holiday on making it difficult for the Portland guards?
Man, it's all effort. It's all effort. It's all energy, especially coming off them screens. We know how dangerous they are, and they're the head of the snake, honestly. We feel like if we can limit their shots or have them take volume shots and kind of make them difficult and bad shots because they're going to get volume shots, we're going to do our best. And with that, we rebound and we get out, so we did our job tonight.
One of the things that's interesting is after the game, Damian Lillard kept saying, hey, look, and I could get this because they did miss a lot of shots. When they were down one, Lillard drove to the paint. I thought maybe AD's shot blocking presence, he had four along with Mirotić, Jrue Holiday had two. And that floater from Lillard came up short. There was contact in there too, and it's something they touched on after the game that Payne McCollum only had three free throw attempts in the game, kind of making it seem, Jason, like the referees were favoring New Orleans. He wasn't getting the calls. Overall, free throw stats, though, New Orleans was 7 of 10. Portland was 9 of 12. Portland had more free throws by two. Neither team really high number of free throws. And that's the only thing you hope. You're going to see adjustments tomorrow. You're going to see Portland's going to try to force the issue, try to get to the line. You just hope the officials don't get involved and make it about them. And I'm not saying that they would or would, just when you normally have one side, oh, we don't get to the line, because that's how it normally is in the playoffs, right? When you don't win, right, look, we don't get to the line. Look, Pels have had their stretch of games where AD and company were getting mugged. No fouls. At you, foul, New Orleans, right? Sneeze on them and they get a whistle on you. That's going to happen some tomorrow. I just expect that. It's the turnovers and the ball movement if New Orleans can continue to do that. And that's what AD is saying there. Got to clean some things up. You have confidence that you won. But that said, you got close there. AD.
It was huge. There's a lot of stuff that we got to get better at. I think we played well overall. We did a great job defensively on Dane and CJ. And rebounding ball a little better, but we got the win. That's all that matters. And watch our film, make some adjustments, and then get ready for Tuesday.
So I played that again so you can hear it. He details it right there. The four areas right there that you have to try to help out tomorrow. Incorrect. Offensive rebounds on the glass. It was killing the Pels late. That's how that 19-point lead went bye-bye. Shot selection. It when other teams make runs on New Orleans, it's probably because of shot selection. Quick shots, bad shots. Although if they go in, they make it look good, right? But you got to be smarter. Ball movement, another one. Coach Gentry on the win actually says that.
I think anytime you can go on the road and win a game, especially a playoff game, they always say the series doesn't start until you win on the road. I thought that our mentality has been that way the whole season. You know, we're one of the few teams that has as good a road record as we do at home. So we feel comfortable playing on the road. I just think that if you can win the first game, it kind of takes the total edge off. But I told the guys the one thing we've got to do is that we've got to try to do the same thing in a couple of days here. You can't take anything for granted, and we still got to play with the same intensity that we played with. And like I said, we just got to correct those two areas. I think that we're much better offensive team than we showed when we played with flow, and we didn't play very much flow today. For some reason, we got into one-on-one and isolation situations and not very much ball movement, and we have to do better in that area.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And look, you just heard that at the end. Just there's things you can do better and make this game go in your favor. Can you do it again? That level of energy that's going to require to follow McCollum and Lillard, it's hard, no doubt. I thought defensively, again, they did a solid role. Jrue Holiday was asked after the game about Darren Erman's role.
Defensive mastermind, obviously it takes a team effort, but
with him. You know, he's always active, as you guys can see. He's always saying something. He's always in the computer watching film. So shout out to him. But honestly, man, the job on the guards today, I think it was the bigs. The way that they were up and just made it hard on them. It was fun. It was fun to play.
Now, what makes it fun, too, is watching Rajon Rondo. Playoff Rondo, Alvin Gentry was asked about him, and he said, look, he's happy that Playoff Rondo is on absolutely his side and that it actually works and that it's true. But, man, Playoff Rondo is a real thing. 17 assists for him yesterday or Saturday. Anthony Davis on Playoff Rondo.
It was huge. He's in a different mindset. He was up all night watching film, even when they was calling plays out tonight. You know, he was telling us what it was, you know, in our version before they even got a chance to run it. So he's definitely mentally locked in. And, you know, the way he played tonight, 17 assists, getting guys involved, talking, making sure we're huddling up at the free throws, make sure we know what we're doing out of timeouts. He's just in a different mode, and he's playing well. He played well for us tonight. We just need him for the rest of the time we're in the playoffs.
At ESPN Radio, Nolan, 800-998-1003, we're asking, what was the one thing that stood out to you that you thought was the most impressive? And I said poise. I said poise. Well, here when we come back from Jrue Holiday, who kept the team composed, that composure, at the end of the game? And one more bite from Damian Lillard on how he thinks if they just make shots, they can win the game and they can win the series. And we'll put a wraps on things, take a quick peek around what else is going on in the world of sports on this Monday, April 16th. And at the top of the hour, Matt Moscone, and after further review, you're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
To what they did defensively, they were physical. They were, you know, up trapping a lot of my pick and rolls. But I think it just comes down to making shots. We did get a fair amount of good looks, and we just didn't knock them down.
That's Damian Lillard of the Portland Trail Blazers. You heard him saying making shots, and he went on a little further to say, look, they were there. He believes they're still going to be there. And really, when it comes to making adjustments for game two, not a ton really needs to be made.
I thought we came out with good energy, you know, but they were quicker to a few loose balls than we were. They had guys making shots, and the opportunities that we got, we didn't make shots. You know, I think a team that's making shots, they're going to naturally have more energy. You know, they're going to be motivated by that. They'll have a little bit more of a bounce till they step on the defensive end. And obviously, we run a lot of pick and rolls, a lot of actions with myself and CJ coming off. And they were really aggressive in them. And, you know, we had to make those plays, hit the guy in the middle, trust the weak side. And I think the second quarter, they just kind of, you know, got on a little run on us. And, you know, that came down to making shots. They made them and we didn't.
There you go. No big deal, Jason. No big deal. Game two. We'll take care of it. Especially since Lillard says it was mainly their mistakes as to why they lost.
I mean, I don't know if we need to change something defensively. Obviously, you'll make your adjustments. But, I mean, we only gave up 95 points. And, you know, we guarded hard. I thought we played a pretty physical game. I just think we got to be better in situations. We had a situation where somebody made a play on the ball. Ball get tipped to the corner, and I overhelp in the corner and leave a shooter open, and he makes a three when we down three. You know, I think just those situations, we got to be much better. Blow a coverage late in the game and Rondo goes baseline and gets a layup, you know, when we need a stop. So I just think in those certain spots in the game, we got to be sharper. You know, mentally we got to be better. But I didn't think we had a bad defensive game. You know, they didn't get over 100 points. So I think it's more situational. You know, just certain spots in the game, we got to be better.
Yeah, and look, I think that's why, I mean, this game was a two-point game. You're probably going to see something closer to that tomorrow. No doubt. I used the word poise was what stood out to me from that game. I mean, my hands were sweaty. I was like, oh, man, please do not lose this. Because it's one of those where if you would have lost it, that's one thing. In the manner that you would have lost, it would have been just, you're on the road, you're up 19, chance to steal the first game of a playoff series. And you're about to blow it. Bad shots, unable to get a rebound. And, of course, they can't miss a three. Crowd's going nuts. I mean, that's why what Drew Holiday did defensively, AD with a huge block on a drive by Lillard, I want to say baseline underneath the rim, to not follow him and just follow the play and just grab the ball. I mean, just the defense the team played late was pretty amazing. When they needed to buckle down, they did. Drew Holiday.
Another thing, getting stops. We know they're going to make plays. They're going to make runs. I think Dame is the highest scorer in the second half. So we knew that he was going to come back. We knew CJ wasn't just going to die off. So, again, man, just fought and made plays down the stretch.
Now, Drew was asked after the game who kept them level-headed. Because, again, why I kept using the word poise is that team looked like a team that's sort of been in this position before. They haven't in the postseason. But remember, one of the reasons why I thought that this team could make some noise in this postseason is they're doing what they have been doing. In other words, the reasons that they are in the playoffs, I can see them doing it in the playoffs. They won 10 straight, 5 straight, won what they had to in order to get into the postseason by doing a certain number of things. We went through them last week. Yeah, AD and Drew playing well, that's one. Defensively, that's two. Winning clutch games is another, though. Playing in clutch situations and coming through. Because we'd seen a history of this team before where if the game is close, they're going to mess it up. That's just what's expected. But the confidence level's coming from them playing well. Drew Holiday, and who kept them level at it?
Honestly, it's always Doe and Anthony. Every time in the locker, every time we huddle up, Anthony was saying, we're still up 12 on the road, or we're still up 3 on the road. And Doe, every time we huddle up, just brings us together and say, we get it done with defense. And every time we get in those situations, it's definitely reassuring hearing it from your captains to be able to say that and say it with confidence.
Indeed. Speaking of confidence, one of the captains that he's referring to, Anthony Davis, was asked, do you have the confidence moving forward now?
And we always believe, you know, I think just winning that game just makes us believe more, honestly, especially on the road. So, but we always been a team that no matter if we're up, down, or whatever in the game, tied up, we always feel like we can win a basketball game. And it starts with, you know, our captains, you know, making sure that they believe first, and then it makes the team believe. So we've been fine all year with that. But I think this big win on the road, first game in the playoffs, kind of makes us even more confident.
So we'll have a lot more on this, obviously, tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about it. Tonight, you got the Heat and 76ers. Last time these two teams played was on Saturday, 130 to 103. Ben Simmons had himself a game. 17 points, 14 assists, 9 rebounds. Will Miami bounce back? Pepito, as we close out, no baseball in Toronto tonight. A hole in the ceilings caused by falling ice. Can't have that in right field. Bad storm, 120,000 people without power in Ontario right now.
It would add a fun little obstacle to the game.
No,
falling ice coming from the CN Tower.
I'd like to have the graph call a pop fly to right and then an icicle.
Oh, he'd crush it.
On the right fielder.
It'd be the call of the year.
Pop fly to right, so-and-so's it. Oh, an icicle
no,
just went through
his head. No, you can't. Don't try to do graph, please.
Matt Moscone, after further review, is up next. Bye-bye.